This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Another chance here. DiVincenzo, he's got it! The Knicks have the lead again!
Good morning, Metroplex. Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam. Twitch and YouTube, Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Rai Rai in the back. Thank you for waking up with us after what could have been a late night for you. We'll talk about the Dallas Stars losing game one at 9:20. Crosstalk with KMC at 9:40, but we got game two of the Mavs this evening against the Clippers. That's enough, Bobby.
Okay.
We're done fist pumping or whatever you're doing. 9 o'clock tip in Los Angeles. The Mavericks are favored in this game. I'm going to guess that Kawhi does not play. They're 2.5 point favorites. Does that tell you he's not playing with that line?
It tells you they don't know
Captain
yet.
Obvious over here.
Yeah, it tells you they don't know yet, but because I do think that they would move up to like I think game one, they went to 4.5 without him. So this is kind of an in-between. They're protecting themselves on both fronts.
Crushing losses last night in what could have been the greatest NBA playoff doubleheader in TNT history. That was Ernie Johnson saying that. The Philadelphia 76ers get broken by Dante DiVincenzo, and the Lakers blow a 20-point lead as Jamal Murray hits the game winner at the buzzer over Anthony Davis.
Can I'm fascinated by, because you quick hit it and then you moved on from it. And I don't know if it's because you don't like the guy and so you don't want to sit here and defend him, but I was fascinated by you saying you were defending what Anthony Davis had said to ESPN yesterday.
All he said was that he should get more consideration for Defensive Player of the Year, and he's absolutely right.
So here was the quote, though. I'll never get Defensive Player of the Year. They're not going to give it to me. This league doesn't like me. I'm the best defensive player in the league. I can switch 1 through 5, can guard the pick and roll the best in the league from a big standpoint. I block shots. I rebound. I don't know what else I can do. I'm over it. I'm just going to do what I got to do to help the team win and try to play for a championship. Accolades and individual awards, I'm done with those. That sounds very KD-like to me, and I would think you would reject the KD energy of, like, this league hates me.
Well, there's a difference between, like, truth and tone. His tone's whiny, but everything he said was the truth.
Do you think the league hates him, though?
Yes.
Interesting. I think fans do. I don't know that the league does. Like,
well,
voters.
NBA coverage.
NBA coverage.
I don't know about players. I don't know. But NBA coverage, Anthony Davis will be remembered as...
Street clothes.
Street clothes.
Which is funny because he missed 6 games this year.
Yeah.
We all know this. Narratives and reality are rarely the same.
Okay,
that's the unfortunate part.
What did he miss before? So what? I don't
know. No, I know.
I'm just
saying, but like it's interesting that this year he he still gets called and he was on the court the whole year.
Yeah. But then he misses after he gets his eyebrow sprained.
And it's a big eyebrow.
That's actually a good point.
Single one.
All right. So this is The Athletic and their NBA player poll that started in 2019. 127 players answering league matters. I love it.
I love
saw it.
It
yesterday. Choppy was all in. All right. This is from the league. What? You got an all in sexual joke?
No, I was
going
to.
Got some little innuendo?
No, I was going to say, when you said all in, I said, so is that like one chip? Because I was making a Cowboys joke. Not
all right,
a sexual one.
That's not bad. All right. Who is the MVP? And the players voted just like everyone in the media. Joker, 42%. Shea, 37%. Luka, only 10. 42, 37, 10. And then Jason Tatum got 4%. So that's just how the media has voted.
Luka was closer in percentages to the others receiving votes, like Paolo Banchero, Jalen Brunson, Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, Halliburton, and Kawhi, than he was to Shea.
Make this make sense. Luka was simply incredible down the home stretch, but like SGA, didn't see his full body of work reflected in the polling because of the timing factor in the process. So at what point would have been the weakest time to make a Luka MVP argument with the season that he had? Like, is there a point where you thought he really ratcheted it up? Are we talking about if this was taken before the final 20 games, you can see how
maybe
he wasn't
Maybe it was taken before the final 20 games.
Yeah, I mean, what I see that. It was after the Gafford trade. It was after the deadline he really ramped up. Because after the was it post-Gafford?
So February.
was it post-Gafford trade when he scored 70, or was that before the trade?
Post.
Okay, so that, yeah, I mean, yeah, February is, if it was taken before February, I guess.
A lot of the SGA love from the players is the expectation, the surprise factor. No one expected the Thunder to be where they are. This is a good point. I think Bobby brought this up the other day, so maybe it wasn't that good of a point. I think he's the most consistent number one option without a consistent helper. Who's the two on OKC? I know who the name is, the star. Yeah, well, he's not a star yet.
They probably want it to be Chet.
Yes. Jalen Williams? I don't know jack squat about Jalen Williams. I'm going to be honest.
Dort.
Josh Giddey?
So he's got the lesser two of anyone, and OKC doing it as an underdog.
They are doing it as an underdog. They came out of nowhere. They are the one seed. That all probably plays into it.
I'm still, the stat that floors me the most this year is that Shea finished the year with 0 triple-doubles and 8 double-doubles. Like, that's so wild to me. Like, when you think about him.
They're talking about getting other guys involved. Mm-hmm. You had 8 double-doubles, that's it?
8. That, which was as many, I think, as Brunson.
Who is the best defender? Victor Wembanyama, 15%. Drew Holiday, 13%.
This was a little bit surprising to me.
He's getting props in this.
After just 1 year, he was already named the best defensive player in the league. Like, that stood out.
Leading the league in blocks at 3.6 a game. Opponents said he just makes it so hard to finish at the rim. He's changing the game. Players, I'm not going to say scare, but he's changing their shots. He deserves it.
Yeah.
And they hate Rudy Gobert.
They hate Rudy. Yeah, Rudy was
Anthony Davis, I don't know if they hate it. Rudy Gobert, I know, is hated.
Yeah, well, I mean, Davis, I mean, he went on this list, the best defensive player by the players.
He was not.
He was in the others receiving votes, which was 0.8% apiece. So basically, they got like maybe, what, one vote?
Victor, as dude's not even trying to go to the rim. He damn near leads the league in blocks right now, and this is his first year. He's doing it in limited time as well. You're building a roster from scratch. Who are you going to sign first? Bobby, did you read this?
No.
Guess.
Got me.
Building a roster from scratch, who are you going to sign first?
So not Wembanyama.
Yeah, you got to give your guess.
Wembanyama.
Yeah, number one.
Oh. Well, you read our reaction.
20. No, I didn't. I thought that was because you were acting the way it was. I thought there was no chance it was Wembanyama.
28% Wemby. 27% was the second place finisher. Joker. And then down to 10%.
Was this taken before Joker had the all-time record for most playoff triple-doubles against the Lakers? That may have changed people's perspective a little.
Anthony Edwards was third, and then Luka at 9%, Shea at 4.
Man, Anthony Edwards would be way up there for me. I would want to build around that entire energy.
By the way, who are the 3% that say you build around LeBron?
Exactly.
He's 39 years old.
Morons. Idiots. And Giannis gets 2.2%, tied with Paolo Banchero and Steph. But Anthony Edwards is third at 10%, and Luka basically got 9%. So Luka got 5 more percent than Shea, but they still want to give Shea the MVP over him. But, dude, this is Wembanyama getting some respect. Who is the league's most overrated player?
I did see that one. That was Rudy, right?
That was Gobert. Rudy. 13%. Jordan Poole, 8.5%.
Who rates Jordan Poole at this point?
I love just going down the names of this. Gobert, Jordan Poole, Trey Young, Dylan Brooks, James Harden, Bradley Beal, John Collins, Halliburton. Interesting. Julius Randle, Cat, Pat Bev, Anthony Davis, Sabonis, Tatum. But that's Rudy Gobert, league's most overrated player.
Go down to the others receiving votes? Luka.
Okay, so Grant Williams was in this poll.
This was only 81 votes were cast for that.
League's most underrated player, Derek White tied with Jalen Williams. Derek White of the Celtics. Then you got Drew Holiday, Shea, De'Aaron Fox, Brandon Ingram.
Franz Wagner.
That's so Shea and Jalen Williams are like, man, super underrated. But the whole idea was Shea was doing it by himself.
1.6% for Jalen Brunson as underrated. Next from the league. This is the
Kyrie,
players.
2.4.
Players voting. Who in the league would you least like to fight? Do you remember?
Oh, it's what's his name? It's the big guy with all the tattoos, the skinny guy. The big skinny guy. What the heck's his
former
name?
Former Maverick?
Oh.
James Johnson.
Yes.
I've read this whole part. He's a freaking badass.
Yeah, he is.
53%. Number two is Steven Adams at 17%. All right, here's James Johnson, 6'7", 240. He's 37 years old. He's now the three-time winner of this award. Okay? He plays for? Nobody knows. Indiana. Formal training as an actual fighter concerns players the most. He previously has said he holds a 20-0 record as a kickboxer, 7-0 in mixed martial arts, has a black belt in karate. His nickname is Bloodsport. He went on a podcast with Ryan Hollins and said, I think I can beat John Jones. And he broke down like how. He was like serious. A player said he can actually fight. He's different. He's crazy. He's one of those where you won't win, but if you do, you'll have to kill him. Another said, is he still in the league? He's a triple black belt. I'm not effing with James. There's other guys I might actually lose the fight, but I'm not effing with him. He might kick me in the head. And then someone said about Steven Adams. He's 6'11", 250. They said, Adams knows all the MMA stuff. He can get you in a chokehold real quick. He'll be nice with it, but he'll choke you out and be like, it's okay, buddy.
I just opened it up and I scrolled down and I see the others receiving votes here. Who the hell voted for Wembanyama?
It's a reach.
I don't care. He's 190 pounds. He looks like Slender Man.
Yeah, it's the reach thing. It's the reach thing. It's all it is.
And then the GOAT question. Some ground is being made up. It's before last night when LeBron hit the three.
Kyle Yeomans.
Not Kyle Yeomans. Who's the greatest player of all time?
This was the worst voting I've ever seen on this.
Really?
Anything.
John Paxson.
No. So... And I know I had no problem with 1 and 2.
Bobby's Adderall's clearly wearing off this hour.
Problem with 1 and 2. Jordan was 1 at 46%. LeBron at 2 at 42%. Kobe 3rd at 10%.
Yep, which has become kind of the standard.
Steph Curry, Magic Johnson, Paul Pierce all tied at 0.8%. No Kareem.
Who could have voted for Paul?
No, Will.
Who voted for Pierce?
The same person who voted for Paul voted for Wembanyama in the fight. That's somebody who's like, I'm going to screw with this voting.
Or someone who like was at the stripper party with Paul or gets hammered with Paul or wants to go on Paul's podcast or was a Celtic, someone who voted like that.
Yeah, listen.
All right, so you're not going crazy that MJ barely beat LeBron.
No, don't care. Like that's a subjective thing.
And it's the current guys.
It's current guys. Look, I love him to death. You can make a greater argument that Kobe's outside the top 10 than you can to make it that he's number 3.
I think I don't have a problem with that.
I mean you can argue either side, but I don't think it's easier to argue him outside the top 10 than as third.
You mean
third is so murky.
There's 5 centers that have to go ahead of him.
No, there aren't. Not like a have to. You can make the argument, sure, but
Duncan doesn't even get mentioned.
Yeah, it's hard to make the argument that he's better than Kareem. It's just very difficult to make that argument.
It's funny. I remember somebody pointed out at one point they called Dwayne Wade a top 5 shooting guard of all time. And I was like, no, there, no way. And then somebody was like, really think about how many
all-time. No, I make that point all the time.
No, but like.
NFL all-time receivers and the two guard.
And it's like, how many like all-time great shooting guards can you actually name? So it's like. Kobe's so high up there.
Oh, for sure.
That it's, I don't think you can, just based off the uniqueness of the position in terms of like how dominant to be an ISO player like that, I don't think you can argue him out of the top 10.
No,
at all.
But remember, like, we are in an era where centers are no longer the dominant force. There was 50 years of the NBA where when you look at Jordan documentaries, when they drafted him, they're like, nah, he ain't gonna win. He's not 7 feet tall. That's all you heard people about.
Right. So to be so great that you're up there in that conversation, doesn't that stand out more than the dime a dozen big men that you're talking about?
I mean, I don't know. You want to say Wilt and Kareem are like,
you know what I mean, though. I'm just saying, like, it's in a very cluttered position.
Stars lose game one, and the NFL draft expert who has five landlines and no cell phone, go pop a pill. That's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Across the line, Barbashev. On the backhand, centers. Oh, and scores! Marchessault rips a one-timer off the flip from Barbashev. It's 2-0 for the defending champions.
Blame Peyton Russell, 0-2 at the AAC. He went to the game last night, and we asked if he could get the crowd going. This was apparently like 6 minutes before puck drop at 8:50, which Spittle called. Spits and Suds is out with a fresh episode. Recapping game one of the Stars 4-3 loss to Vegas. And this was Pepe in his seats trying to get the Stars fans going.
All right, here we go. 6 minutes from the anthem. We got a nice crowd here. I think we can do it. All right, here we go. The last year it flopped. We're going to let's go Stars, baby. Let's go Stars. Let's go Stars. Let's go Stars.
Great chant.
Did anybody chant with
you? Row for one. Row for one. My girlfriend Mackenzie has left. She got up and walked away.
That's 0-2, not 0-1.
We got people looking at us.
Try USA.
Oh my god. Okay, I think that'll get some people chanting.
Try it.
We're gonna try USA chant. It's not a Canada team though. USA! USA! USA!
Great chant.
No. All right, 0-2. You know what? It's okay. It's a late arriving crowd. You know, we'll try again the first period. We'll try again later on the first. Maybe the Stars need a goal or something.
What you need to do is you need to record a video of yourself trying to get USA started during a very...
Did I ask people about Earth Day? See if they knew it was...
yeah, today? Just say, did you know it was Earth Day? And then ask them, say, hey, what's your one thing?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Great question.
You're late arriving crowd. Boy. That was 15 minutes after the game was supposed to start. How late?
And it was 8:30 already.
Yeah, how late was this crowd?
I heard rumors that a lot of Californians had moved here, but I didn't believe it until I saw Peyton Russell couldn't get a USA chant started.
Oh, I see what you
That's
did
what
there.
Sealed the deal
yeah,
for me.
Very yeah, very nice, very nice.
All right, let's empty the NFL Draft mailbag. Path to the Draft is brought to you by Zero Res and Pluckers. The Jets trade Zach Wilson to the Broncos for a 6. They still have pick 12 in Thursday night's first round, and that trade means only one of the 5 quarterbacks selected in the 2021 first round remains with his original team, and that's Trevor Lawrence. Wilson, gone. Trey Lance, gone. Justin Fields and Mac Jones have all been dealt.
You are the genius when it comes to calling what trade value these quarterbacks will go for.
Yeah.
Since we had said it would be a first round pick. Do you think what would Trevor Lawrence has been a disappointment, but he's going to get paid, and overall he's been good. What would you think if the Jaguars said, we're going to reset, we're going to trade Trevor Lawrence, what would he go for? Just a first?
I think he would get a 1.
Just a single 1, nothing else?
How young is he?
24.
Is he that young?
I think so. He's 21 when he came out, right?
I could see like a 1 and a 3.
Okay.
I could see a 1 and a 3, 1 and some change.
He is 24. He turns 25 in October.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, after the first, 10 games or so of this year, it was not great. But he had a good stretch before that from the middle of the previous season till then. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's easily a one plus, you know, what it is beyond that.
His QBRs for his career, 39, 56, 56.
Yeah, he's only 3 years in. Like, that's not a lot of time that you're, because he's going to get, first of all, overall number one picks generally get chances or chances. I mean, look at Sam Bradford, how many chances he got.
Let's empty the mailbag. Adam Schefter suggesting that Michael Penix could go to the Falcons. I heard that yesterday.
That's odd to me. And I know he's brought up a couple different teams that, like, you know, the Seahawks could be one that would be interested in Michael Penix Jr. I know that, you know, we look at these draft values. The Falcons have shown they're not afraid of going after and, like, picking up quarterbacks. Like, they had a quarterback in place when they picked Ritter. They've gone through these situations before where they'll draft guys as contingency plans. So their front office has been known to do that. But Penix is interesting because there's a sense, Dane had talked about this at one point, Dane Brugler, that Penix was a guy who he thought could go mid-first round, or depending on where teams viewed him, like, could fall deep into the second, because there's kind of all these opinions kind of all over about him. That's why Penix, and I don't know, we may get into it later if you want, but, like, the Penix wrote this big public letter on the Players Tribune yesterday about, like, his letter to NFL GMs and why they should pick him and kind of pitching himself. But yeah, Penix is
how they were playing on concrete, tackle football on concrete.
It's really
that weeded you out.
It's really what he said.
I've never heard of that.
No, I mean, we would play in the street, but we wouldn't play tackle. No. We would never do that. But no, what was interesting about the Penix article, or about the Penix letter, was last week Caleb Williams had given an interview where he talked about having his own apartment, his own nutritionist, this, like, carefully crafted schedule all the way back in high school. Like, in high school, he's got a nutritionist and he's living in his own apartment in this pursuit of his NFL dream. And Penix this week comes out, like, the very first thing he says is, I'm a product of Dade City, Florida, population 7,600, no Trader Joe's, no Whole Foods, no steakhouses or country clubs, no personal quarterback coach, no strength coach, no state-of-the-art training equipment. And it almost feels like Penix is, it feels like almost like
an election.
Yeah, like an election. Like, I need to position myself as a certain kind of candidate. And, like, Penix is saying, hey, if you're a team who's turned off by Caleb Williams's demeanor, I'm the anti-Caleb. If you want the anti-Hollywood, real football guy, that's me. That's me. I'll be the guy who people don't like Caleb Williams painting his nails and, you know, doing what he does, like going up in the stands with mom and everything. Like, if you don't like all that and you don't like the Hollywood attitude, I'll be the opposite of that. And you don't like that, Chop. I can see it on your face.
It's not that I don't like it. I have no problem with it. I think there's a market for that, but I don't know. I just think if you don't like Caleb Williams because he paints his nails and he goes in the stands,
you're like Sandler. I want to get it on the record, because then we can be two for two with our quarterback disagreements. You don't have any maturity questions about Caleb. You're not worried about all the off the field, that type of stuff.
Well, I mean, look, I have no idea if Caleb Williams is going to be a good NFL quarterback or not, right? I don't know.
Will he be a failure because of off the field maturity issue? Like, are you concerned about that aspect?
Like, do you, the stuff he says or does, the way he acts, do you think that it's not an issue?
It would not preclude me from drafting him number one. It would not do that. But I think it's like, because I listened to a little bit of him with Ryan Clark. I mean, the guy's he's a football smart guy. Like, he doesn't
have to draw formations on his college mirror. Yeah, like Penix, he already knows it.
Is he entitled? Yeah, for sure. But, like, the dude's a competitor, man. Like, I'm surprised you don't like him. Like, you would love him.
Well, I didn't watch that.
Oh, because he is like,
I'd still draft him one.
Yeah,
but I'm officially waving the yellow flag over the other stuff.
Yeah, he is a grudge holder. He is a receipt keeper.
Yeah.
He hates Spencer Rattler. Why? Because he thought Spencer not unfairly, but beat him out as a freshman. And he's like, that dude did not beat me out.
Yeah, so I hate Spencer Rattler, not the coach who picked him. I'll follow that coach to USC. And
he didn't understand. He kept, because Lincoln kept telling him, just keep going, keep grinding. And he's like, I don't understand this. Like, what am I grinding? Like, I can't, you're not giving me reps with the ones. Like, I don't know. I think that he's definitely a different cat. Like, there's no doubt about that. I just don't know that, like, painting the nails is not a big deal.
Maybe
I'm wrong.
I've heard split opinions from people like in NFL personnel circles that there are people who think Caleb's definitely got problems and questions about him. And then there are other people who say, like, he's just different and older people in personnel circles are not prepared for different, so they think it's bad.
Yeah, it's not the nails thing for me. He's coming across to me as, like, fragile. I don't know what's going to happen if they go 0-6. I don't know. And again, I don't know.
I agree.
I don't get a CEO-type feeling from him.
We're Kyler.
That I need to trust you no matter what. Like, I know I don't like Trevor Lawrence's game. I know Trevor Lawrence is, like, that CEO. I like Caleb Williams' ability and much more than Trevor. I don't have that feeling with him.
Kyler, though, the question, there were plenty of questions about Kyler's maturity. Yeah,
Baker, Manziel, Kyler, Caleb. Is it unfair to throw Caleb in that category?
I think Manziel is the most different. Like, Manziel is the one
who's nice. That's a nice way to say it.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, Manziel is the one who had the most, like, legitimate, like, off-the-field issues. Whereas the others were just...
Baker being a punk going to cost him.
Yeah.
Kyler being entitled, all the dad issues going to play out. And it did.
Yeah. And
Baker now is loved in Tampa.
Yeah. Like Baker. It's interesting. Baker, Kyler, Caleb. It's almost like they were fostered by the same person.
Here we go. Oklahoma love.
Not Oklahoma. It's Lincoln.
Oklahoma
thing.
Hate. Excuse me.
Lincoln is brilliant on the X's and O's. Lincoln's a great recruiter,
Lincoln
all that.
Riley.
I do not trust the program and the people that Lincoln Riley puts out.
Okay, well, you love Kingsbury, and he was a Johnny enabler right there with Sumlin.
Sure. So I mean, X's and O's, yeah. I'm talking about literally running a program and the type of professionals you're developing. The guys you're preparing for them for, you're going to go to the NFL and you're going to be there, which, by the way, Lincoln and Cliff work together at USC. Don't think that's a coincidence.
Anything else from Schefter?
A couple other things. He mentions there that there would be... It's a surprise to many in the NFL. The very floor for Jonathan Brooks, the running back out of Texas, is Dallas in the second round. He's like, people in the NFL believe that if he gets to the Cowboys picking the second round, that's who they're picking. That's the thought of it. Chiefs were already looking at wide receiver in this draft. He said they're really hard after that now, after the Rashee Rice thing, that they're obviously in a couple different, like, tough spots here. And he said any day now we should be getting punishment for the Eagles and the Falcons for the tampering over Kirk Cousins and Saquon Barkley. And that it's expected that the Falcons will get the harsher of the punishment, but both of them are looking at getting draft picks taken away.
Man, we can't pretend to care about tampering now. So what happened is apparently Kirk got the, one of the trainer's phone numbers and, like, called him up, wanted to get his philosophies or whatever he called him up for, which is apparently a big no-no. That's apparently a no-no. But let's not pretend to care about tampering.
He's saying they murdered Cousins the other night on social media when he threw out the first pitch at the Braves-Rangers game.
Why, because he was wearing a white jersey with a cream hat?
No, because it was primetime. And he said he's now 13-24 in his career in primetime after the Rangers beat the Braves.
Roasted him, man.
Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece on the home of the Rangers. Next.
Murray makes a move.
Yes!
The Nuggets have won!
In your face, Laker fans, you fake people! All you fakers.
Jamal Murray.
Another L.
With the game winner.
Loved it.
Over Anthony Davis. 20-point lead blown.
Yes!
Hey, Mike. You know Lakers? That's just fakers with an L.
I know.
That's what it is.
LeBron drops the microphone, ticked off over a call in the third quarter. What are the refs doing?
Yeah.
And Denver with their 10th straight win.
That's why they lost that game.
I know. I'm like, your offense is totally stagnant and broken. You're giving up easy buckets.
I have a question.
That was right after the Knicks 76ers thriller.
I was at the Stars game. So this morning, I knew that Murray hit the shot when I got home. But I watched the 10-minute. You know how they have a 10-minute condensed game?
Yeah.
Anthony Davis in the 10-minute condensed game is awesome. And then the fourth quarter, they don't show a highlight of him.
Yeah.
Can you help me out here? Because I know you watched that game. Were they denying the ball to Anthony Davis? Did the Lakers decide to stop going to him? Was he passive?
Literally all the possessions down the stretch where they didn't try to run any plays. They're like, Denver still like runs like motion, and you know what I mean? Like, yes, they're running an offense.
Yes.
This, it seemed like a Laker ended up with the ball with 6 seconds left. First off, he doesn't call for it. He doesn't want it. I truly believe that. 6 seconds
Is there a
left?
Difference between he doesn't want the ball versus he's not actively calling for it? Because I think he does want the ball. I just don't think he's...
I don't think he minds not getting it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They were trying to run, like, LeBron AD pick and roll, right? And then LeBron would end up with it. Reeves forced up a couple. It was broken. You want to get on Darvin Ham and kill him for, like, no semblance of offense. But I've never seen Anthony Davis really want it or get it consistently in those moments. And I don't think he cares.
In the condensed form, it's about a 6 or 8 point game in the second quarter. And then they show 4 straight highlights of Anthony Davis. Yeah. The separation.
He was awesome.
Like, the separation of the game, at least on the condensed form of the game, was Anthony Davis took over the game. That's why they got up by 20 points.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But then
he had like a first half.
They never showed a highlight of him. I think he got a rebound and a good outlet to LeBron James. That was his one highlight in the fourth quarter.
He didn't do much, and then obviously Jamal Murray was outstanding. Not just that shot, but was outstanding in general in the fourth quarter. And the best player in the NBA did his thing.
Best player in the NBA, Joker?
Yes.
Did his thing. Okay. I was like, okay.
I don't even think. Is he the best? Well, out of all sports right now, is Patrick Mahomes superior? So, like, if you take Jokic as the best in the NBA, Mahomes is the best in the NFL. Baseball, I don't know if there's anybody right now with separation. No.
I think he's in
a pack of guys.
Okay.
So, and hockey, I guess you could take Connor McDavid, but I don't know the league well enough to know how much he's separated from McKinnon or the other guys.
And hell, he had 5 assists last night.
Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler. Yeah. So who has the biggest separation? What superstar in their league is he?
Mahomes. And then Jokic.
I mean, Sean, you would say Messi, right?
But, I mean.
Caitlin Clark.
Dak finished higher in the MVP voting. That doesn't that make him better?
Well.
It does, Mike.
Yeah, look, thought you were trolling me and you got trolled.
I'll tell you this. I have more confidence that when we get to the playoffs, Mahomes is going to win the title than I do Joker.
Okay.
But I agree, like, you know. During the regular season, I mean, Dak, like you said, he finished higher than the MVP. And
Corey.
Joker seems to win it every year.
What's coming up, sir?
Guys, in the noon o'clock hour today, the Dallas Cowboys will have their pre-draft press conference.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. I
you
forgot about that.
You just keep listening anyway.
45 minutes off.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the second floor and do some work and do a workout.
Mike would probably rather chop off both of his hands than cover that.
How would you do that? Because once you chop off one.
All right. Well, the gym's.
You'd have to have like a guillotine drop set.
Gym's open at noon.
Or if you have that paper cutter, right? You could still.
Oh, yeah, that's
you
true.
You could still manage it.
Nub it.
Mm-hmm.
I went out of my way not to use that specific phrase, but we'll find other ways to keep you guys engaged.
Stephen Jones
too.
Will also be on with us maybe around one.
He's coming on after the presser?
Yeah.
And then
we'll talk with Mike's favorite.
Brian Ray.
Quarterback owner.
I don't know.
Quarterback.
Tony Khan from AEW will join us.
Shaka Khan is coming on.
Nope.
Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan.
Yeah, 120 buddy, Trevor Lawrence's daddy.
Should I wear Trevor Lawrence to Pluckers Thursday?
You may as well not. You don't even have to be here today.
Yeah, you can ask if Trevor's been a disappointment.
Well, hiring Fingers Magoo got him off to a horrible start.
Fingers Magoo. Peterson?
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer. Remember the whole thing.
Man, that was a disaster for the first year.
What was the only year?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about this Aaron Boone situation. And maybe defend the umpire a little bit. I don't know. This is what happened yesterday at the Yankee game when this umpire throws out Aaron Boone. Brett Boone will be on with us tomorrow. We'll ask him about it at 9:20. And it was actually a fan yelling things at the ump behind the dugout.
The first base umpire call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
And
well, there you go. And now Aaron's saying I didn't say anything.
You're gone.
Aaron saying, hold on a second, I didn't say a word.
No, I don't care. I did not say a word. It was a fire.
did not say anything, Hunter.
It is a fair counterpoint to be like, what do you mean you don't care?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything. Yeah. The umpire goes, don't care.
Don't care. Yeah.
You're
so
gone.
So my question, inadvertently trying, I'm not trying to defend the umpire, but.
Sounds like you are.
What is he supposed to do in terms of judging voices? Now, the umpire afterwards said it was someone chirping on the other side of the Yankee dugout. And he didn't want to toss a player because fans are there to see the players. So Aaron Boone is in charge of that dugout and those players. This guy gave an all-time
injury.
It was a
guy behind him.
Yeah.
It was a guy behind the dugout.
Here's what
not on the team.
Take your big rabbit ears, tuck them inside your hat, and umpire the game.
I agree.
Like, so what they're saying in the dugout? And it wasn't coming from the dugout. So what?
Why is the NFL the
only sport
where
off.
There's like no text for coaches? How has the NFL
you
figured this out?
You get a flag if you're on the field, right? Like,
yeah, if you're on the field. But
not if you say, hey,
coaches,
yeah.
Mother F officials on NFL Sundays every week, they don't throw flags. There's no text. There's no tossing of the game.
Yeah.
But we have it in the other sports.
I think part
of it
is.
Which one has it right?
Like football, the play clock's running. The coach knows they have to get to, the next play is going to run. In baseball, there is like the pitch clock's not starting when the umpire's sitting there arguing with the manager. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, but
I don't
still
know.
See
it's,
coaches
it's, football
go
and
off
baseball
on
have become the same with the pitch clock, though. I mean, it literally it's starting. If the umpire decides to argue himself, he can stop it, but he can just. Take his rabbit ears and tuck them inside his hat and be like, I don't care what they're saying over there.
So your solution is just ignore the dugout. Let's
100%.
Stop
But if they get up in your face
for
and
sure,
say, okay.
If they come, if okay, they are now approaching you,
okay.
That's different.
I get that.
They're stopping the game.
Yeah.
That's why NBA, you know, coaches will usually get texts as they stop the game because of they are now coming onto the court or stopping the flow of the game.
Do you think NBA officials should also do that same thing with players and coaches? Like not give out texts? Really?
It's
what would
tough
be the
because
with that in baseball?
It's tough because it's a condensed field / court and you can really see their body language and they're so close to each other.
Yeah.
You don't have to scream at the ref. We see, like, I mean, they are, but they're literally right next to each other, or it's a complete show up of the guy. And I'm not, you know, obviously we have the guy who does it one of the most in the NBA, in Luka. I wish he would stop it. Nobody ever changed the call and says, timeout. I got that one wrong. Luka did a great job.
There was a play in game one where he went to the other side of the court but did not give a damn about playing defense. He was just waiting for the possession to be over, and then he immediately walked over and started pointing at the official. And I was like, they're definitely going to change their mind now.
I do think refs should, in all sports, so what they say. Now, you know, you can call them all kinds of names. Like, you can't say that, this and that. Okay, but if you just ignore it, they'll usually, if they don't stop... You know, I mean, if they just keep going forever, okay, but that was a guy immediately, he wanted to throw out Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
As soon as he engaged as soon as you heard him over the live mic, he wanted to throw out Aaron Boone. He's like, please, we all have this, whether it's with our spouse or whatever. Like, there's a moment where you get into a moment of anger or rage, and you're just like, I need that person to respond to me.
Yeah.
And so he was hoping and praying that Aaron Boone would respond. He didn't. He assumed he would. And so he's like, just please somebody say something else so I can throw him out.
Who believes if the Mavs go down 0-2, it's series over Corey Majors, if that happens tonight?
I mean, Danny Green told us yesterday it's not a series until somebody wins one on the road.
Did he come up with that?
I've never heard
that one before. Holy cow.
How long has he been doing this?
The worm will turn.
What's that?
The worm will turn.
Dennis Rodman?
That's what I was thinking.
No, Danny Green said that yesterday also.
Oh, so what is your answer?
I think they'll be fine. I think they come back home. I think they win tonight anyway.
Okay.
I think they win tonight.
But if they fall down 0-2, series over?
No.
I don't think so. Maybe I should, but I don't think so.
Yes. It'll still go 6. I think the Mavs won't get swept, but I think if the Mavs lose tonight, it's over.
Kevin.
Oh, come on.
Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
No. What are we doing? He can go in the Hall of Very Good, with a whole bunch of other people and have his one fancy season.
Hall of good.
Is Matt
okay, just good, not yeah, even very just, good? No, okay.
Matt Ryan or Eli?
You know, like, personally, I think Matt Ryan is better, but because of the standards by which the Hall of Fame seems to take quarterbacks, I think it's significantly more likely that Eli gets into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Plus, he's a Manning.
All right, my attempt to draw RJ off did not
work.
RJ, Matt Ryan officially saying goodbye.
Do you still think he's a top 10 quarterback of all time?
I don't remember saying he was top 10.
You definitely
you
said that
did.
In the
I think,
yeah.
I think I had him as top 15 at one point.
No. We played, definitely we played the top clip. 10. Like, Peyton played the clip 2 weeks ago of you saying that he was in the top 5 to 7 of all time.
That we never played that clip.
Yeah, we
that
did.
That was not even remotely a clip.
Peyton, do you remember it?
Sean and I argued about Ben. We never argued that. No, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer anymore because the end ruined one of his greatest, not achievements, but stats was he had a very high floor. Like, his worst years, like, his QBR was almost always like between 62 and 69. That's a really high floor. Most guys don't have, you have a drop.
Romo or Ryan?
No, he doesn't have that anymore. So I would, oh, Ryan. Ryan's better than Rivers. He's better than Ben. Yeah. He's better than Romo. He's better than Eli. But
he did have the MVP and Super Bowl choke run, but that's also on his play caller.
When are you going to talk about the Stars atmosphere?
Right out the gate.
Woo! Yeah. I can't wait to hear that.
Puck around and find out.
Here's a spoiler. Mike says crowd at the AAC, not that great.
That's a tease, and that's next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.